Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing well today. How are you?
I'm feeling really good,
good.
Pretty excited to be on the air with you again.
Yes, me too. It's always fun to be back in the studio with you.
Yeah. I'm in the dark about what we're talking about today.
Oh, yes. It's a good topic. The topic is candida.
Candida.
What you may not know.
Well, maybe you better tell me what that is.
Yeah.
It's not candy.
No. There's some interesting facts about candida. And so for those of you listening who aren't sure what candida is, it is a yeast that is present in our body. It's actually considered a normal flora, meaning it's normal for it to be present.
Normal for it to be present.
Yes.
But there may be some things we don't know about it.
Right.
Okay, so, well, enlighten me.
Yeah, it's not a problem unless it's in excess. And normally the bacteria, the good bacteria in our gut, keep yeast in check. So the yeast is particularly present in the gut, but also on the skin and in different areas. But the normal, as long as we have good flora in our gut, it should keep the yeast in check.
So the yeast in excess is bad flora?
Yes, it can be problematic. So as well, the immune system has to be strong. And two things that I often see that will deplete the immune system is stress and medications. And so if our immune system isn't strong, that can be another reason that candida can overgrow.
That ties back into our gut being a big source of good health in general.
That's right. You got it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit before we dive in about candida, more about candida, like the symptoms and ways to test and how we treat it. I wanted to talk about what influences the nature of the flora or the bugs in our gut.
Okay.
There's a myriad of things. So fiber is one of them. So when we eat fibrous foods or take fiber supplements, those help to feed the good bugs in our gut. So lots of fruits and vegetables and whole grains. If we are eating too much sugar, however, we're feeding bad bacteria and yeasts.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. I was pretty sure of that.
Yeah. So too much sugar can make that yeast overgrow. As well, antibiotics. So we know that when we take antibiotics, that it kills off the good bacteria that keep the yeast in check. So if you are needing to take an antibiotic, it's important that you repopulate your gut with good flora, with probiotics and fermented foods, and things like that.
You mean like after you're done with the antibiotic?
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. We got to get that good bacteria back in balance.
Also, that's really important. I'm surprised that at least my experience when I've taken antibiotics, I've never heard anything about repopulating my gut. So
yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well, I feel like more conventional doctors are, I don't know what the percentage is, but are recommending that. So it's becoming more well known.
Good.
Just takes time. Yeah. So, and then the next thing, birth control pills. So birth control pills often have progesterone and then a small amount of estrogen. And actually progesterone will promote yeast growth. So when we're taking oral birth control pills, it can disrupt our gut flora.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then this next one, this is the exciting one it's not really exciting. When I learned it, I was like, that's so interesting. That heavy metals, if we have heavy metals in our body, candida will overgrow. It's actually a protective mechanism of the body.
From the heavy metals for the candida to overgrow?
Yeah. I think somehow the candida somehow sequester the metals, or they somehow are protective for our body.
So how do you know if you have heavy metals?
Well, you have to get tested.
Ah.
Yeah. So the thing is, if you have candida, you don't want to kill the candida because it's until you deal with the heavy metals. Because it's,
but you don't know for sure that it's because of heavy metals, because it could be from any of these other things you mentioned.
It could be. It could be. But I would definitely check for heavy metals first.
Is that a blood test?
There's a myriad of tests you can do. There's a blood test. There's a hair analysis. There is a urine test, too.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of challenging to test for heavy metals.
Do you think people should, as a matter of course, check for heavy metals at least once in their life?
I think it's a good idea. Yeah, I do. Especially if you have any kind of health issues. Our world is just so toxic and, you know, there's just, especially the mercury, with the fish and, you know, it being in our air and all soil and especially, that's true too. But living on the south end of the island here is where the soil, I think, is pretty contaminated with, is it lead and?
Arsenic.
Arsenic, okay.
From the copper smelter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Not good. Yeah. So
great news.
No, it's not good news. And then the last one, is on to stress. That actually, stress affects the flora in our gut. So if we are constantly anxious and stressed and worried, actually candida, it can cause candida to overgrow.
Well, I'm guessing that it's pretty hard to avoid stress. These
true.
Days, so there certainly needs to be a balance, whether it's through exercise or other techniques that people use to balance out their stress.
Absolutely.
Hopefully they do.
Yep.
But so if it does overgrow for whatever those reasons, then you might have some kind of symptom?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that next, symptoms.
Ah.
But yeah, that's a good point what you make about the stress. I mean, we all have stress. It's just how do we deal with it? You know, do we have a spiritual practice? You know, exercise, you know, spending time with family, friends.
Laughing.
Yes, laughing. Yeah, yeah, that's super important. So just dealing with the stress.
There's a joke of the day website.
Do you check it out every day?
Sometimes I think about it and sometimes I do, but not as often as I could.
Okay, cool. I want to check it out if I'm feeling down.
To wake up with a smile on my face.
That's good. Yeah, so let's move on to symptoms of candida overgrowth. And actually, there are a lot of symptoms. I'll first start with the digestive issues because that one is pretty common, especially if we've like taken antibiotics or eating too much sugar or just not having a good diet. And so often people will have gas and they will be bloated. They can have diarrhea, but as well, you can also have chronic constipation. Depends on the person how they're going to manifest the symptoms, but it's definitely one of the top symptoms of candida overgrowth.
You know, in my travels with people, I've found that a lot of people just accept it as a matter of course.
It's true. That's no fun.
They don't, it doesn't impose enough on their life that they think it's something that they need to really address.
Yeah, until it gets really bad.
Yeah.
And then they come to me.
Aha.
And then I say, oh boy, no. And then, yeah, we've got some work to do. So, yeah, digestive issues is a big one. And then also skin issues like eczema, psoriasis can be indicative of yeast, and that's kind of what it goes along with what we talked about on the last show, that, you know, those kind of skin issues are usually something to do with the internal environment of the body. Chronic sinusitis can be another indication. Sometimes we can have yeast overgrowth in our sinuses. Brain fog, poor concentration. So candida actually produces toxins, and those can cause all kinds of problems in our body, overload our liver, but then also they can cause brain fog or poor concentration.
I'm already wanting to hear about how you get rid of it, just in case.
You want me to jump to the punchline, don't you?
I do.
So the candida can cause thyroid and adrenal issues. So candida actually interferes with, we talked about the thyroid, and I know this is probably getting kind of scientific for our listeners, but the thyroid hormones, T4 and T3, and T3 is the active form of the hormone, and our body has to convert T4 to T3. And so actually candida interferes with that conversion.
Uh-huh.
So it can cause thyroid issues. And then,
which lots of people,
it's true,
have, lots and of people accept do. As normal too.
Yeah, they do. I always ask, well, why do you have the thyroid issue? Which, you know, you can tune into our thyroid show if you want
to dive
nice
into
to that.
Reverse that if possible, mm-hmm. if it's just a symptom of something else.
Exactly. And then sugar cravings, which sugar cravings can be multiple things, but when we have candida, we can have intense sugar cravings because those bugs, they want to be fed. They want candida likes sugar.
They don't need very much either, as I recall.
That's probably not. They're so small.
A little goes a long way.
Yeah. And then another symptom, damp conditions in the body. So any other kind of like fungus growth, like on the skin, like athlete's foot, jock itch, toenail fungus, those can also indicate candida. And usually when somebody has that kind of issue, I talk to them about, well, let's talk about what's going on in your gut. Do you have candida in there? So definitely something to investigate. And then, yeah, that's about it, I think.
The way they do that is to come and see you at Fern Cove Medicine?
That's right. You got it.
Okay.
Hey, I want to pause for a second here and say you're listening to The Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH. I am Dr. Lisa Morse, and I'm here with Claire DeNice, health coach and personal trainer, and we are talking about candida.
Yes, and I would just like to mention one of our VOV sponsors is Windermere Real Estate.
Yes, thank you so much to Windermere. Okay, so now we're going to move on ways to test for candida.
Good.
Unfortunately, there's not a lot of good ways. That's the bad news. So we can do, we can do a stool test. We can check the stool, but I don't find that always to be accurate. The yeast doesn't really survive as well once it gets out of the body, and oftentimes it's actually attached to the gut wall by the hyphae, which is a part of yeast. They have these little arms and they grab onto things.
The yeast has arms?
It's kind of like
hyphae.
I call them arms, yeah. But they're not really arms.
That's a very cute visual. No, don't make me leave.
Yeah, so I have seen people that we tested and it was like, no, you don't have yeast. But then we ended up doing a treatment anyways, and they got better. So the stool test is not super accurate. There's another test, though, an organic acid test. That is where we test your urine and we check for metabolites that the yeast produce. Remember, I was talking about the toxins that yeast produce. So that's what we would test for in the urine. And that one's a little bit more accurate.
That seems a little easier than the other one anyway.
Well, easier or nicer?
Well, let's see, less personal.
Messy. Yes, less messy.
I mean, people are more used to being handed a cup.
It's true.
Than
a container.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is part of the laughing part.
I agree. Yes, I agree that the urine would be easier to collect. So that's a good one to do. There's probably some information some of you have maybe read on the internet about doing a spit test. I don't know if you've heard this, Claire, but you in the morning when you wake up, you spit into like a little glass of water. And supposedly if you have yeast, it will either sink to the bottom.
Or it makes strings or something. Oh yeah,
yes.
I have heard that.
The sinking I supposedly is the worst, and then strings are not as bad, but it should float. If it floats, then you're good.
Spit should float.
Yeah, you know, I don't really know if this is accurate.
You know, what I would say is our listeners may be likely to remember to do that at some point in time. And if they are experiencing any discomfort, gut type issues, they might do that.
It.
And then if the results are questionable, then they might be more likely to take action, hopefully.
It's true. Yeah. Come see me.
Yeah. I would just want to say that it seems like so many things beget so many other things.
Yeah.
And a lot of things are pretty correctable.
It's
true. Minor maladies if you don't just ignore them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's that, the spit test. Oh, but also you have to make sure that you are hydrated, I guess, when you do the test, and that you don't want to eat dairy. before, like a couple of days before. Evidently, dairy is mucus producing and can affect the test. That's the word on the street.
Is there any certain amount that you need to be able to spit?
Or just... It's a dime-sized amount.
A dime, what, okay.
Yeah. So let's move on to something a little bit more. Well, I don't know what the word is.
Yeah. Just go ahead.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about the pH of your urine. So this isn't a direct test for candida.
But what, I need to stop you right there.
Yeah.
You wanted to say a word about what pH is. Just in
oh,
case
pH
people don't
is
know.
Like the acidity and the alkalinity of your urine. So you can get little test strips and test your urine
to see what the pH is. And so if you have a very acidic urine, it actually indicates that there's excess acidity in your body and that this is the environment that yeast survives in well. So,
just out of curiosity, I'm sorry to interrupt you again.
No, that's fine.
I know that neutral, I know a little about pH because I used to be a lab tech.
Yeah.
But what would you consider acidic enough as a reading?
Well, we don't want it acidic. We want it alkaline.
But so I mean, if it is acidic, how much less than 7?
Oh, like 6.8 and lower, I would say would be pretty acidic. I mean, 6.8 is okay. Ideally, you want it around 7.
I've heard Coke is like a 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can either do a 24-hour urine fun. That's like
a urine-thon? Yeah. Is that what you said?
No, I said a 24-hour urine fun.
Like I thought you fun. Said a year, like a, no, like a marathon, no, no. Only a urine-thon no. For 24 hours.
No.
Collecting all your urine for 24
yeah.
hours.
Yeah.
Is that, you're serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, that's, okay.
Some people do this.
It must be the sunshine
today. But
it's not,
but it's not a
silly.
Urine-thon. That's not called a urine-thon. I said it was fun after.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's not fun. You can do a 24-hour urine or you can do your second morning urine. I think the 24-hour is a little bit more accurate, but yeah.
So you collect it and then you put the test strip in it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
well, that would be interesting to know. Also.
It would. It's a general indicator of health in general. Like, yeah, because people with osteoporosis and things like that often are very acidic. They're losing minerals from their bones. I mean, there's various reasons for osteoporosis, and we talk about that on our osteoporosis show. But
they're all available on the website.
That's right.
Under Peak Health.
That's right. Yeah. The last thing I'm going to say is
sometimes I use as a candida questionnaire. That can be helpful, just like gauging your symptoms and adding up points, and kind of an indicator of, well, you probably don't have this, or you looks like you have a lot of symptoms associated with candida.
Would you say that it varies from person to person based on just their body chemistry? That, for instance, I don't drink soda, but if people are drinking soda, there's a lot of sugar in that, which of course would feed the candida. So are there some people that might be able to eat sugar but not have an overgrowth of candida, whereas others might not be able to eat sugar at all because they easily overgrow?
I think it has to do with all those other factors that we talked about. You know, how's your gut flora? How's your stress levels? Do you have heavy metals?
Oh, okay.
All that stuff. Yeah, it all plays into it. So
I think what I would hear is a little more mindfulness and paying attention to the small symptoms that the body gives us, that it's a little out of sync.
Yeah.
Not a lot out of sync.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So now we're going to move on to how to treat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I really would like to know.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say would be to check for heavy metals. Just because, as we talked about, when we have heavy metals, candida tends to overgrow. You know, the body is intelligent and it's a protective mechanism. And so we don't want to kill the candida without removing the heavy metals.
So may I ask the likelihood, are we ingesting them through breathing, through our skin, through our food? And does the general population have heavy metals, or Is it where they've lived? And
definitely, I think it's associated with where you've lived. Pacific Northwest is a big area for Mercury.
Why is that?
I think it has to do with the industry. I don't know, the industry around here.
Huh.
The water is very contaminated with it. Is it coal? I don't know. Sorry, I don't know specifics.
Okay. But just curious.
I just remember learning that
you to
from
know everything.
Dr. Pizzorno, one of the doctors who started Best Year. I remember he's very into like heavy metals. And he taught me that. He showed me a map of the areas of the U.S. that were particularly high in heavy metals. But then, you know, again, like you said, the dental fillings. Are we eating a lot of fish?
Certain vaccines supposedly used to.
True.
I don't think so much anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, lead can come from, you know,
a sarco.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do think that most people have a small amount of heavy metals, but some people have more. Some people eliminate it very well and some don't. So that plays into it too.
Should I ask how people eliminate it?
Well, there's genetics. Methylation is a way we eliminate toxins. Yeah, I'm not going to say more than that.
Okay.
Getting into details here.
We won't get too off track, which I do rather easily.
Nah. So check for heavy metals. And then we want to address the lifestyle. You know, obviously reduce stress or find ways to deal with stress. Stop taking antibiotics. Stop taking birth control pills or... just realizing that if you're taking birth control pills, it's going to increase your likelihood. And then start with the diet. The diet is huge. You know, if you do have an overgrowth, not eating any sugar. Usually I just recommend a whole foods diet. Sometimes I might go as far as telling people to not eat grains for a temporary time. Grains, you know, some really sweet fruits or starchy vegetables. But the biggest thing is like that processed sugar. You don't want to be eating that.
So if you improve your diet, mm-hmm. and let's say you stop eating sugar and grains.
Yeah.
Will the overgrowth be eliminated and you'll have the right, it'll go back to the right proportions compared to other flora in the
diet? It will improve. I mean, sometimes, I mean, we're going to talk about that using antifungals. Like herbal antifungals or herbs to reduce the yeast is good. I mean, if you prefer not to use that, you could do it with diet and lifestyle too. You just take a little bit longer.
That's what I was just curious about because I think that it doesn't take a whole lot to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're eating any grains, which break down into... They're starchy. They're carbohydrates. And mm-hmm. Whole grains would be better than processed grains, of course.
But, right.
It might be hard. It might take a while, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, your symptoms might not diminish as quickly as you'd like them to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And then I want to talk about fermented foods. So we know that fermented foods are a good source of bacteria for us, healthy bacteria, but... With candida, it can be problematic. And so at least at first, while we're adjusting the diet and maybe taking antifungals, you know, working on our stress, probably want to avoid fermented foods. It's kind of...
Okay.
Yeah.
So fermented foods.
Like kombucha.
Kombucha, pickles, kefir.
Mm-hmm.
What about, is yogurt?
Yogurt, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That fermentation, the yeast likes that. I don't know if it's the acids in the fermented foods or what. But, you know, getting the yeast under control and then at some point then we can reintroduce fermented foods. But
but I know that a lot of people are addicted to kombucha.
And sometimes I wonder if it's because they're feeding yeast. You know, kind of like the sugar. I crave sugar. I'm going to eat sugar.
And exactly the antithesis of what they should be doing is what they're doing because they think it's good for them.
Yes, it's true. I used to drink kombucha a lot. I still do once in a while, but I think I was addicted to it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Kombucha yes. Anonymous for you. K-A.
Hey, I'm recovered now. Okay.
So antifungals. So of course there is some pharmaceutical antifungals. Nystatin is one that sometimes people will prescribe or doctors will prescribe.
What was that again?
Nystatin. Yeah. Okay. It's a prescription antifungal. But I do prefer to use herbal things like oregano oil, berberines, grapefruit seed extract, or caprylic acid. There's lots of options out there. And so doing that for, you know, several weeks while we're doing the diet and working on other things can be super helpful for reducing that yeast overgrowth.
So can I stop you for just a minute? Let's pretend that you, one, does nothing and has a continuous overgrowth mm-hmm. and just lives with the symptoms,
yeah,
whatever they are.
Yeah.
Does it get worse? Like we've talked about some things, one thing leads to another if it's not addressed. Just
I don't think, like, you're not going to die from yeast overgrowth. I mean, unless uh-huh. you have HIV or something like that,
uh-huh.
that can be obviously an issue. They get HIV patients have a lot of problems with infections, but you're not going to die or anything. I mean, you're going to be suffering, you know, with whatever your symptoms are, whether it's your low thyroid or whether it's your...
Like you have to be near a bathroom all the time.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, your liver is probably going to get overloaded and not be able to process other toxins.
Oh, because it's spending so much time on trying to manage that.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. A few more things about treatment. So what I like to do is after somebody, maybe does some antifungals is to just give some things to heal the lining of the gut because candida can, you know, cause damage in there. And so glutamine is a big one and marshmallow or slippery elm. So we had this conversation about marshmallow. It's not the white marshmallows that you put over the campfire.
Not even organic ones.
No, this is a herb. That can be helpful for just healing the lining of the gut, because we want there to be a mucosal layer to create the right environment for good bacteria to thrive. And so doing that, and then also sometimes if people are not digesting things well, might do some digestive enzymes or bitter herbs to help them digest their food well, so that we're not having a bad environment. Because if you don't digest your food well, it creates the wrong environment in your gut, which can lead to bad bacteria.
And you know you're not digesting your food well if?
Well, if you have gastrointestinal symptoms. So like if you went through this yeast like protocol and then you were like, I'm still bloaty and I'm still have issues. Well, okay, let's work on digesting your foods better. Maybe that's what's going on as well in combination.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. Cool. So do you have any questions, Claire? I think we're just about finished here.
I think I know a lot more than I did.
Good.
A little while ago.
Good. Hopefully our listeners do too.
There are, I'm thinking, many people who are not as aware as they could be.
Yeah.
About they perceive minor inconveniences as just that.
Life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good to know as I'm working with people.
Yeah.
When the issues come up.
Yeah. Yeah. I want the listeners to know too that you don't have to suffer from these things and seek out help. And yeah.
You don't have to give up half the foods you like because they don't seem to agree with you, because it has a cause that can be treated.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Peak Health Radio Show, where we're dedicated to educating and inspiring you, our listeners, to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life you desire.
Thank you, Lisa.
Take care, everyone.
As always.
Yep.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.